All right, welcome to the very first episode of a Super Fantasy Football Podcast, a show dedicated to following the weekly grind of the Super Friends Fantasy Football League. I'm John, your host and owner slash manager of the Iron City Olifants. And I want to first take a minute, since this is the first show, to just explain a little bit about what this show is going to be. So I guess I'll start with how I came up with this idea. So I was listening to a sports podcast and they were talking about their fantasy league a little bit, kind of going off on a tangent, I guess. And they stopped and made some comment like, we gotta stop talking about this because people always give a shit when we talk about our league. And that resonated with me because no one cares about your fantasy football league. No one cares at all. My girlfriend doesn't care, my coworkers don't care. My family doesn't care, but I need to talk about it because this is serious stuff. This is important to me, and I need an outlet, damn it. And I love being in this league, and I need to talk about it as much as possible. So I came up with this idea to make a Super Friends specific fantasy football podcast. So if you're not one of the seven other owners, you're really not the audience for this show. You're welcome to listen, but you're really not the audience. And the goal or the general outline, I guess, of each show is that each week I'll have one of the owners to come talk about the current standings, make projections about the upcoming games, and just kind of talk about general gossip around our league. So to kick off the podcast and the 2022 season, we're going to do a little pre-draft preview. We'll check out everyone's keepers, talk about some of the top potential draft picks, and maybe do a little bit of recap of last season. So for the first episode, we're inviting on an owner whose fantasy strategy is maybe best described as a raging elephant in a china shop. He'd trade you two draft picks for a pack of chew. He'll be taking a nap during the first half of the draft yet again this year because he has no draft picks. And he just so happens to be the defending Super Friends Fantasy League champion. Randall, welcome to the pod, my friend. How you doing?
I'm good, John. Thank you for having me.
So let's get into it. Let's start with last season, since, as I said, you are the defending champion. And in that season, you had a couple of really big blockbuster trades. Can you tell me about those?
I did. To start the year off, let me look here. I gotta shuffle through here. There's a bunch of trades on last year. So to start the year, I believe I traded Saquon Barkley back, or not back, but to Matthew Chez.
Okay, so that part, yeah, I wanted to ask about that. What did you end up trading Saquon for?
I'm trying to think. I don't believe there was a lot of picks, and Commissioner Glancy does not have this on his trade sheet. I believe it was Saquon for Josh Allen, and I believe I got some picks out of it to get back into the draft early.
Okay, gotcha.
I believe is what happened.
Because you were still trying to recover from the initial Saquon trade back when you
Correct.
Acquired him.
Correct, and I have still, to this day, not have recovered completely from that.
So do you – okay, well, let's get into that a little bit. Do you still not have a first-round draft pick this year?
This year will be the final year of the original Saquon trade.
That is incredible.
Trade in 2019 –
yeah.
I sent Ramsey, who is no longer in the league, and that team is now run by Matt Didiano. At the time, I sent him my 2019 first and second round picks, my 2020 first round, my 2021 first round, and my 2022 first round, along with James Conner and Kelvin Benjamin.
Good Lord. That is
so. This year is the final. No, hey, it was at the time it was worth it. It helped me make the playoffs, but then I was one and done.
And as I recall, all you did was make the playoffs that year. You did not win the ship.
That's all I did. I believe I made it right into the playoffs, and I believe my arch nemesis Tom Haley knocked me right out.
Incredible. All right, well let's get back to this season then. Okay, so. You got Saquon off your books, but still have to pay a first rounder this year. And then, interestingly enough, you kept with that same strategy. And on October 12th, you traded your 2022 third and fourth round picks for Travis Kelce and Justin Jefferson.
Correct. There was a point where in the middle of the, or at the beginning of the season, John, I went a real strong start, and I don't know why. I started to get real nervous that I think it was towards week 12 or 13 where I lost two back-to-back. Yeah, and I kind of wanted to solidify it. So that trade actually turned out to be pretty good. Justin Jefferson had a hell of a year.
Was he part of the reason you made it into the playoffs that year?
I would say so, yeah. He was a big part of it. And I think the other reason I needed him is Adam Thielen, who was on, he's been on my team for a few years. He had a real slump of a year, and I think that was because of Justin Jefferson getting so many targets and touchdowns.
And then Travis Kelce, obviously, best tight end.
Travis Kelce was a big help.
Yeah. And then, but you're already off to a strong start. Because I was looking back, I think you started off like 5-2 or so, pretty solid. And then November 23rd, you went ahead and traded that lone second round pick and a 2023 first round for Najee Harris.
It's no surprise, John. The weakest part of my roster has always been running back.
Yeah, and Brian always has amazing running backs.
It was a running back guy by committee. I had I can't think of his name now. I had the running back for the Lions, DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
And he was pretty good. Then he got hurt. Then I had the backup, Jamal Williams. He did pretty good. Then he got hurt. And then I don't even know who my other running backs were. It was like I looked on the transaction counter. I made 40 transactions over the course of the season.
My God, that's incredible. But,
and the next closest person was at 39 or 31. And I forget who that was. And only one other person in the league had more transactions. And that was Tom at 42.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Tom had a hell of a year, too. But couldn't squeak into the playoffs.
Couldn't squeak in.
Last year was the weirdest year. The weirdest year. I was looking at it. The playoffs were not set. I don't think anyone other than you were like guaranteed a playoff spot going into the last week.
So, correct, but I couldn't just cash it all in for the last game of the year. I had to play it because had I lost, Eric would have jumped me as the number one seed.
Right, and then you would have had to play.
I would have had to play you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You would have had to play me. And Eric had to play.
And for the record, you swept me in the regular season.
I know.
I did not beat you in the regular season. I was looking at that. You beat me by 3 points in week six.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a nail biter, 2 points in week 13.
Yeah, I didn't have the stones to make the trades that you made.
Hey, you got to go all in. A championship at any cost.
That's right. And so, yeah, as I was saying before, last year was the weirdest year. The top two scoring teams did not make the playoffs. And the lowest scoring team, by far, Matt Chez, made the playoffs. Matt averaged 87.9 points per game, finished 7-6, and made the playoffs. And
the first game of the year, I beat Chez by over 90 points. Or not just, whoa. That was a mistake. I beat him by over 40 points.
Still
the first game of the year.
Yeah.
He scored 43.7 points.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And then
that might have been the lowest all year.
Yeah. I hope so, because that's pretty bad.
Hey, people forget Chez is sneaky. He's a he's a previous champion. He won back in 2015.
And he the only reason he snuck into the playoffs this year was from a 0.75 victory, 80.25 to Brian's 79.5, who had given up by that point in the year. And
that's
the only reason he snuck into the playoffs.
Wow. That's insane.
Legendarily bad team.
Hey, I hope so. Saquon. Wasn't Saquon hurt all year?
Yes, Saquon was hurt.
So that trade didn't even help Chez.
Yeah, he's definitely hoping to get a little more out of Saquon this year, I
I don't
think.
know how he did it.
Incredible. So let me ask you this. What do you think is the best trade you've ever made? And let's say best and worst trade that you can think of. Was the Saquon trade the worst trade you've ever made? Was that one worth
It,
it?
yeah, looking back on it, that was really bad.
Oh my gosh. And then what
So
do you
it's
think your best one
been
is?
my best one had to have been the rebuild where I got Josh Allen. You know what? I believe that trade for Saquon, I believe I got Josh Allen and Mike Evans out of that deal.
That's not too bad.
No, so because for years I had no quarterback. I got one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. And then to pair Mike Evans at the time with Adam Thielen, I had two of the best receivers in the league. So that part of my roster was solidified.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And it paid off, and you won the championship. Is this your first championship?
It is. This is my first.
Wow.
It's been a long time coming.
Amazing. Well, as someone who's still working for their first one, I say congratulations, but I'm coming for you this year. Finished
Hey.
Second last year. I'm coming for that ship this year.
John, I looked. You're due for one. You had a bunch
Yeah.
of number two and number three finishes throughout the years.
Yeah, I seem to always be in the mix or absolutely terrible, and there's not really much in between. So we'll see what happens this year. So let's see here. Gone through last year a little bit. So, when is your first pick again this year? Fifth?
My first pick this year is in the fifth round.
Fifth round. Okay, and your current keepers are Josh Allen, Mike Evans, and George Kittle.
It was between George Kittle or Kyle Pitts.
No disrespect to those guys, but I don't think the best keepers for a fantasy
Mike Evans
football
has Brady coming back. I think that'll be good, but I don't know that George Kittle, looking back on it, was a real good keeper.
I feel like you always want to have, in our league, you pretty much got to have at least one running back as one of your keepers.
I didn't have any worthy to keep.
Well, I know, because you had to give them all back.
Yeah, that's the one thing I wish I did with Brian, is I didn't make the Najee deal a loaner deal.
Do you think you would have gone for that?
No, not at all.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't think he would have either. But
even if Brian would have cut him after he got sent back, Brian would have never have done it without keeping him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so fifth round, who are you hoping to snatch up with your first pick? I think
the best available player.
Is T.Y. Hilton going to be available, you think?
Hey, I hope.
It's probably the best that you can hope for. In the fifth
round.
Hey,
maybe one of your keepers that you didn't keep will fall down.
Well, okay, let's get to that, because that is a bit of an elephant in the room. Once again, the same thing happened last year. ESPN did not save my keepers. David reached out to me. He said, hey, he actually reached out to me and Didiano and said, I'm pretty sure I saw that everyone had set their keepers. Did you guys set yours? And I had, so I let him know. Didiano is the only one who for sure did not. So I'm getting my keepers. Blanking on who those are, but Didiano is not, I don't think, last I heard. So I believe his are gonna be up for grabs.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So
who was on Didiano's team? Did he have Lamar?
He had Lamar, he had Cooper Kupp, he had DK Metcalf. I guess Robert Gronkowski he's retiring. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And let's see, Nick Chubb. Those are probably the big names on his. But some good receivers in there.
Who was the worst team last year? Was it Bolden Pabst? Was it David?
I believe David has the first round pick. Yeah.
What a commissioner. Take Didiano's keepers away, so they're right there for David to take them.
He was trying so hard to give Didiano his keepers back. I don't feel bad. He was saying, no, I'm pretty sure. He followed up multiple times. I'm pretty sure everyone set their keepers. And Didiano just kept saying, nope, didn't do it. So, you know.
John,
kudos to him
John,
for being
John,
honest, I guess.
John.
Yeah.
Are you willing to confirm on record there is collusion?
If you bring me evidence of collusion, we'll have you back on and we'll talk about potential
I believe
collusion.
What I just heard out of your mouth was collusion.
There was not collusion at all. David, I believe in good faith, was saying he remembers seeing that everyone had set their keepers. And
look, later tonight when you play this back, I want you to hear the collusion that came out of your mouth.
And Didiano, also in good faith, was saying, nope, I did not set my keepers. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but it appears that those guys are going to be available.
In all the history of our league, there's only been two teams that not to start the year with no keepers. Tom Haley a few years ago, and now Matt Didiano. That's crazy.
Wow.
What an exclusive club to be a member of.
Well, now that Matt Didiano's in, it makes me feel a little bit better about when I inevitably forget to set my keepers.
It does. At least you don't fall down to the level. Yeah, it makes it feel better.
Yeah. So let's go through some of the keepers now. I'll pull them up on my computer here. We've already gone through yours, talked about Didiano's. Let's see who David has. All right, so he's got Zeke, Aaron Jones, and Chris Godwin. Okay.
Ooh.
Interesting. Running backs pretty much all set. So that's always a good feeling. How do you feel about those keepers?
Whose team was that again?
David's. He's got Chris Godwin, Ezekiel Elliott, and Aaron Jones of the Green Bay Packers.
Ooh. That's an interesting set of keepers. I like it.
Yeah, that is interesting. I don't know. I think our league really is so like running back heavy, and Brian kind of tends to hog them all. So if you don't have like a number one star running back,
correct,
it's gonna be tough to win in this league. But he's got a couple of solid ones for sure. I don't know if they're stars, but they're a couple of solid ones.
Yeah, Aaron Jones, I'd say, is a star.
Okay. I believe
more of a, we're in a PPR league.
Yeah. Let's see. He's a projected 197 fantasy points this year, and Zeke is 189. So those are solid. And Chris Godwin. Oh, but did you see Julio Jones recently signed with Tampa Bay?
Yeah, with Tampa Bay. That was interesting too.
Yeah. So
that team is so loaded.
Yeah. We got to stop talking about them before I get a little bit too honest on the first episode.
Turning into a Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast.
Right. All right, let's move on to Brian's. He's got Najee from you, Derrick Henry, and Christian McCaffrey. Good Lord.
You know what? In all honesty, back to what you asked me earlier, the worst trade I ever made was I sent Brian Christian McCaffrey's rookie year.
Man, that's
I drafted him. We were in Eric's house in Squirrel Hill. I sat there at the table and drafted him, and I just gave him away to Brian for basically nothing.
That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, that's probably my biggest weakness is that I don't know a single thing about anyone other than the Steelers, and I don't know anything about any of the rookies coming in. So it's a shame.
Yeah, this year's rookie class I know nothing about.
So Brian's three keepers, Najee is projected 219, Derrick Henry 243, and Christian McCaffrey 242.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, that's a heck of a lineup each week. I think he's coming back with a vengeance after not winning a championship for a couple of years.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. And then we have Eric, who has Kyler Murray, Jonathan Taylor, and Dalvin Cook.
Ooh. Dalvin Cook. Very solid running back. Jonathan Taylor.
JT had a heck of a year last year.
Finally has a quarterback now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that Phillip Rivers wasn't a good quarterback, but when you got to pull Phillip Rivers out of the game to put in Jacoby Brissett to throw a deep ball on third down, you got a much bigger problem.
Yeah, that is the truth. Yeah, those are pretty solid. I guess we'll do the point projections for them too. Kyler Murray, 312. Jonathan Taylor, 287. Dalvin Cook, 223.
Hey, Eric better hold Kyler Murray to his contractually obligated 4 hours of independent study every week.
I'm sure Eric will be checking in on Twitter to make
you
sure
you get 200 plus million and they have to write that into your contract. That is absurd.
That is crazy. I don't know why they would offer that.
Like, make sure you study.
Yeah. Crazy. All right. And then we'll move on to Matt Chez, who's got Saquon, James Conner, who, if he can have 18 touchdowns again, that's going to be a solid keep. And Devonta Smith with the Eagles.
Ooh.
So Saquon's projected 185, a bit lower than some of the other running backs that were keepers. JC is 205.
Ooh.
And Devonta Smith, 144.
Ooh.
Not too bad. Let's see.
Is Devonta Smith, you said Devonta Smith is with Philly?
Mm-hmm.
Is he the starting running back there?
No, he's the wide receiver. He was a rookie last year, I think.
Oh, the receiver at Alabama.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, whoa. Now I sound like an idiot. My apologies.
That's all right. We're not
okay, that's a solid keeper, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not too bad. Two running backs, one wide receiver. And let's see. Tom Haley's the last one. He's got Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and Travis Kelce. Not a single running back there.
Ooh. Hey. Yeah. Got two of the best receivers in the game. One of the best tight ends in the game. Now that Tyreek Hill's gone in Kansas City, that's going to make for more touches for Kelce.
Yeah, that's true.
Tom might know what he's doing. Maybe Tom finally grabs that brass ring and gets over that hurdle. Another guy that finishes second and third a lot of years.
Yeah.
I just can't get over that hump.
That's a shame.
Also, my arch nemesis. By the way, I swept him last year. Swept him.
Love that. That's always a good feeling. Yeah, Jamar Chase projected 212. Justin Jefferson, 214. And Travis Kelce, 170.
Hmm.
That feels a little low for Kelce.
It does.
Maybe they're thinking he's getting older or something like that. I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, but, they could.
Yeah, and then let me pull up mine. Give me a minute here. I'm going to try to go through the history and pull up my team because it's currently blank. David hasn't added them back in yet. But I believe it's Pat Mahomes, Austin Eckler, and Tyreek Hill. So quarterback, receiver, running back.
Down in Miami, got Tyreek.
Yeah, I don't love not having two running backs, but you know, one of the big three. That's not too bad, I think.
Yeah, but I think there's enough running backs. We have what, two running backs starting spots?
Mm-hmm. One flex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, still. There's still a lot of good running backs, I think, still available. I don't know about by the fifth round when I pick, but hey.
Yeah. Well, I have been starting to do a little bit of research, listening to other podcasts. But it's always so hard with our league because we have there's no other league in the world that has the same rules as ours. We only have eight teams. We have 0.25 points per catch. And... we do a snake draft, not an auction, which I greatly prefer. I don't get why people do an auction draft, but it seems like that's a really popular thing out there. So a lot of the podcasts kind of talk about strategy for an auction draft.
I don't know if you recall, but I believe the first draft we ever did was an auction draft.
We've done it before, yeah. At least, yeah, I think just the one.
And it did not end up well.
No. Yeah, because people were, I don't think, completely understood how to do it, and people were going all in on one person.
Running up the bids.
Yeah, it did not.
It was like, oh, you really want Gary Barnage? Well, here, you're going to pay $45 for him.
Right.
Shout out Gary Barnage, wherever you're at.
Yeah. So how? I guess I shouldn't have booked you for the pre-draft show, because you've probably participated less in the draft than anyone, including Brian, who didn't join the league until 2017. but
correct. I probably spent the least amount of time drafting.
Probably had less total picks, at least.
Look, John, when you're the defending reigning champion, I got to be the first guest.
That's true. That's what justifies it. But so what kind of preparation goes into your draft strategy? Do you just go based off your knowledge? Do you do any kind of research at all? What do you do?
In previous years, I used to I'd build my own draft board. I'd have players ranked where I wanted them. And I know this makes me sound outdated. I used to buy ESPN's draft guide, Athlon Sports NFL draft guide, all these magazines. And I would just go through, read them, read all the reports. I used to be able to tell you oh yeah, that guy's the fourth string running back on the Bears. I would know who's who. The last 3 years, nothing.
Yeah.
I just it that when you're picking in the fourth, fifth, sixth round,
you gotta have a really deep knowledge.
I remember one year, I don't think I picked till the third round, and my first pick was Josh, or not Josh, Justin Tucker.
Yeah, you did.
The kicker for the Ravens. I was like, hey, right now he's best available player. I'm taking him.
That wasn't true then, and it's not true now, but I respect the heck out of it.
He's a hell of a kicker, John.
Oh, my God. So any draft prep this year? Just the same kind of thing?
Same kind of thing. Not a whole lot of prep this year. Just kind of going to wing it and see who's out there, see if we can find a diamond in the rough.
There you go. I have been trying to listen to a couple podcasts. I feel like I never think about it until it's too late, and then I'm like, I'll just pull up some random list when I'm there and get the best person I can find. Trying to be a little more strategic this year, but we'll see how it goes.
At least this year we don't have anyone sprinkle like the one year we did our draft at Buffalo Wild Wings, and they had a bunch of football players from movies sprinkled in the player cards. And
I forgot about that.
If my memory serves me correct, Tom drafted Ray Finkel. That's what happens when you don't do any prep.
Oh my God. Yeah, I would 100%
fall for
that.
You end up with a fictional kicker.
I would completely fall for that. So never doing it there again. But I feel like we got a lot of food out of that. I don't remember the deal, but.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact deal, but I remember there was a bunch of appetizers. They gave us that giant draft board.
Mm-hmm.
No one else was drafting there. We were the only group of, and we draft so early in the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it Matt Chez that, I can't remember. He's had terrible injury luck with his fantasy teams.
By the time we draft, and according to ESPN's website, we draft in 16 days live from Cinderlands. if anyone other than us are listening to this, in the Strip District, camp just opened today.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if it opened, but players reported today, at least to La Trobe.
Oh, Chez drafted Andrew Luck, and then hours later he retired. That's what it was.
Yeah. I forgot all about that.
That was incredible. That was the funniest thing.
You finally draft a quarterback that's worth keeping for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And he just retires out of nowhere.
That was amazing. Oh, man. All right. Well, how are you feeling about a repeat?
I don't know, John.
In the modern era, only Brian has repeated. And
repeated. In the modern era of our league, since 2014, only two teams have won multiple championships. Eric Altman in 2020, and in 2016. And Brian with a three-peat.
Yeah.
In 19, 18, and 2017. His first 3 years in our league, he swept us.
That was infuriating. And I'm glad he's not had as much success these past couple of years. But I have a feeling with judging by his
keepers, he's coming back with a vengeance.
He's coming back with a vengeance, I think. Yeah.
But I don't know about necessarily a repeat, but my goal was always kind of get the real Americans into the playoffs.
And just see what happens.
And then if we can get to the playoffs, then it's wide open.
Anything can happen.
And and throughout the season, as teams start going down, hopefully my team's still going upwards. I mean, people were more than willing to make trades, and sometimes you gotta mortgage the future for a championship. But yeah,
it paid off.
I don't know, like I said, I'd be happy getting to the playoffs. I don't know necessarily about repeating.
All right. Well, that's a loser attitude, but we'll see how it pays off.
Hopefully we can catch lightning in a bottle again. Ride that wave right back into the playoffs.
All right, we'll see. And lastly, if you had to compare yourself as a fantasy owner to NFL coach, team, GM, whatever, who or what would you be in your mind? And I'll tell you what I think.
In my mind, based off the actual outcome of this year's Super Bowl, I got to go with the LA Rams.
Yeah. That was my first thought for you as well.
Win at any cost. Fuck them draft picks. We don't need them. And, hey, it worked once. Why can't it work twice?
That's true. So you're like a one championship every 5 years or so kind of guy?
Hey, if that's what it takes.
All right. I think that was my first thought as well for you, obviously. But then after giving it a little bit of thought, you know, 15 years from now, if you're still doing this strategy and only have the one championship to show for it, you're Al Davis. You're the craziest bitch doing the craziest moves and just living in the past, and people just give you respect because you won one championship.
Well, here's the thing, John.
In the 1900s.
Even now, I'm already into draft picks for 2023.
Yeah.
I have no first-round draft pick in 2023. So at this point...
That's incredible.
Do I just pump the brakes and sit on these picks, or do I just keep wheeling and dealing trying to get there?
You know, it's a good question. I'm not going to answer it for you, but it's definitely one to ponder.
As long as people are still willing to wheel and deal, then, hey. John, to let you in on a little piece of information.
Yeah.
I was trying to make a blockbuster trade to announce on here.
No way.
But there was some miscommunication between me and the person I was trading with. And we were trying to get clarification from Commissioner Galanci, and I texted David for clarification at 3:21 p.m. and have not heard back since.
What? Who is the other partner in this trade? Can you at least tell me that?
We're going to get called out for tampering on here?
I don't think
that
has any rules.
No, I was trying to work with Chez on a deal to announce on this podcast. Trying to get me back into the early rounds of the draft.
Oh, interesting. Wow. Well, keep us updated.
That fell through, though, so sorry to let you down. We tried.
Well, that's all right. That would have been fun, but that's all right. I think this has been a great first pod anyway, so thanks for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate you for having me.
All right, Randy. I'll talk to you later.
I'll talk to you too, Johnny.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
All right, and that's it. Special thanks to Randy for hopping on the first episode of the pod. I think it was moderately successful. I was aiming for like a D+. I think I got there. But we'll try to do better next time for our post-draft analysis episode. Since it's still preseason, I'm probably not going to be doing weekly episodes. I'm definitely not going to be doing weekly episodes because there's really nothing to talk about. But we'll reconvene after the draft, and the guest doesn't know he's going to be the guest yet, so I'll keep that a surprise, but tune in sometime after August 11th to hear where your team ranks after the draft wraps up. Until then, thanks for listening to a Super Fancy Football podcast, and I'll see you in Zip Froggies.